Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Number 207 of the show today. It was a beautiful day in Iowa City watching Iowa Hawkeye football. Just incredible to be back in Kinnick. It always is. Kevin and I were able to attend the open practice, watch the Hawks in action. We're going to discuss a bunch of things about every position group, what we think, where we think this Hawkeye team could go. It'll be good. Listen in. Let's have a day.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 207, an episode that I belong nowhere near because I have no professional input in the matter. Kevin and Tyler went and saw a spring game, sat next to each other, touched each other a little bit, then said their goodbyes. Looking forward to hearing how the Hawks looked. I'm as much a listener today as you guys are, but I'll try and shoot my filthy input in to your ears. Like a spit wad out of a straw. So Kluver, you take it over.
Yeah, those intros by Drake, it's just, you never know where they're going to go. You just have no idea. Welcome in to the first podcast in 2 years, well, a year and a half since fans that weren't normal people got to be inside Kinnick Stadium watching Iowa football. Kev, yesterday was a beautiful day inside Kinnick.
It actually got a little hot out there. I got a little sunburned.
A little warm, and got into the 60s. It was sunny. There was Iowa football players on the field at Kinnick Stadium, and they were playing football. And there were some 23Bs, Drake. There's a couple
23Bs.
Like, and every time I think about the spring game, I'll always think about one thing. And I've told the story on the pod before, but it's short. It's about our poor guy Macon and how he finished his Iowa career for spring ball with a string of nine or so, nine being the low end. It could have definitely been double digits, but nine at least. 23Bs in a row with the second team.
Not good.
Not good. Can you imagine being a fifth-year senior, finishing your spring ball? Like, you know that there's 15 minutes left in your entire life in spring ball, but that last 15 minutes is spent on 10 23Bs.
I mean, I don't know a better way for a fullback to go out.
Dude, I do. Honestly, the way JFK went out is better.
Wow. Too soon. Too soon.
Rest in peace. No, it's never too soon. That's the motto. The better way to go out is like Jack Kerner did yesterday. Jack Kerner didn't even practice yesterday. He didn't get hurt. There was nothing
happened. Oh, fuck. Dude, you just scared me.
I know. I saw your face and I thought, oh, now he's going to think that he like busted his ACL. Jack walked out to practice just in t-shirt and shorts, and it was just a chill day for him. He was like extra coach yesterday. Matt Hankins was also not in pads, so are arguably, well, I guess Moss has just as much experience. Moss had a good day. Moss made a good play on, what was that? He came up on a screen pass and made a nice little stop.
Yeah, he got around, I forget which offensive lineman it was, and kind of took out the legs. It was a nice play.
How does the offensive line look? That's like the most important Iowa football question.
So the offensive line looked like a spring ball offensive line. I mean,
yeah.
So it's not like, and it's not like Kevin and I were sitting there like writing down notes on every single play. It was more of like a general, I don't know, Kevin can tell you his thoughts, but my feeling was it's really hard to gauge what the offensive line was doing because our defensive line is in a rough spot right now. With injuries and depth,
new bodies.
And so, I mean, we're talking, there's a young guy, his name's Ye. I thought his name was Yaha, but it's Ye. If you look at the spelling, dude, that's how you would say it, but it's Ye. He's a big bastard. He came up out of the depths of the tunnel. So they don't have that, you know, usually we'd walk down that corner stairs, Drake.
Yeah.
But to get into the stadium on those days. But now, since they built that new north end zone, those stairs are gone. And so they have to walk in the middle of the stadium down where they bring the carts through, like that death tunnel of like where it's just like you can literally see the inner workings of the stadium.
Yeah, I like that tunnel.
It's kind of cool. The cart came up out of there after practice as all the coaches and players walked up. We were waiting to talk to Coach Woods. We got to talk to Coach Wallace. We talked to we talked to Ben Hansen. It was fucking good to see all
hugely jealous.
Yeah, we talked to all those dudes. Ben Hansen, still a legend. Most powerful person in Iowa City, according to Kevin. And this Yaha kid is fucking big, dude.
Massive. Will you please put some respect on his name, please?
Or Ye. Sorry. I just call him Ye.
Big kid.
Big kid, but he's hurt right now.
Yeah, I would love to see what he can do in some pads.
We got to talk to KB. KB,
does he have a wagon? Is he built like James Daniels?
Oh, wagon.
Wagon?
And not only that, but he came up the tunnel on a cart with two other dudes, and they were all on crutches. So I don't know if
why is he on crutches?
I don't know if they got ankles or what they got going on right now, but it was Logan Jones and Logan Lee are two also really young D linemen. One of them got hurt today and one of them was already hurt. And they're like in combo with YA, those three are like three of the top eight D linemen. Right. And so as you know, fans listening to the podcast know the way that kind of every D line works and just the nature of the position is it needs to be somewhat rotation based because it's a tough position to play, man. You get tired. You have to be an absolute wall every time you're on the field. Occasionally, you know, you have a different responsibility if you're on the outside. But we really were working with Joe Evans and Van Valkenburg. Play of the day was probably the kid from Dowling. His name's slipping my mind now. Wagner. John Wagner put an absolute stick on somebody. I'm not sure. I can't remember which running back it was.
I think Lou was playing across him. He just had a free shot on a 17, Drake.
Yeah. What was that, Drake?
Give me your verdict on him. I want to hear because I heard he was supposed to be all that coming out of high school.
Wagner?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, and maybe it was because we had Epinesa and then we've had some dudes at the D line, right? We had Davion, we had Chauncey, had some transfers in there last year. I think Wagner did have that hype out of high school. Big kid. I mean, he's a big dude. I think he's 6'6".
Good frame, man.
Yeah, he's got a nice frame. Yeah. Kind of like Drew.
Drew would feel so disrespected right now if you put this kid's name next to his.
Well, Drew's going to be disrespected by anybody's name next to his because he thinks he's a god. But funny story, actually, Budgeta sent Kevin a Snapchat yesterday, like middle of us sitting there in the stadium. It was just him and Drew Ott doing curls
out in the basement.
Doing curls in a basement.
Like, what's going on?
You know what Bojan told me after that? He said he hadn't. So this reminds me of what we were talking about earlier in the week, Drake. Bojan hasn't lifted a weight in 1.5 years. And he said he did 325 for 4 yesterday on bench. So.
Oh, my God. That's
stupid. There's no excuse for you not benching 300 anymore.
I know. And for the listeners of this podcast, you guys will very much enjoy hearing that I now am the lowest bencher on this whole organization.
Which was never the case.
Drake was always the highest by a long ways.
Yeah, Drake was always like the 400-pound bench. What was your max? Like four?
I'm not sure I ever put 400 pounds on the bar and bench.
But the estimated.
I may have done it. I think my estimated was through the roof, dude, because I could do like, damn.
Yeah, you had
355 for 6 or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you could have put 405 on and done a rep.
Maybe. Didn't try, though. And then I went rip.
Yeah, before the pop. For those listening, Drake had a rough day at the old pro day. And honestly, dude, for those that, you know, you're on bench press and you see those guys just completely rip apart their pecs. And I would be scared after recovery from an injury like that to get back under a bar. There would be some sort of PTSD for me. I mean, I'll be honest. There's some days where I throw on like 185 to start like getting up to like, you know, in the twos, whatever I'm trying to bench. And it feels a little tight. And I'm like, hey, now trying to keep my breasts in shape here. I don't want any pop, snap, crackles. You know,
since we're on the topic of pro day and how Drake is it that I go into the biggest job interview of my life and absolutely shit my pants?
Yeah. You essentially,
I was the guy. I was in Step Brothers when he ripped the ketchup and onion fart, bro.
Exactly what I was going to say. You were the equivalent of Dale Dobek when he was interviewing for the janitor position.
Hey, you want to hear a funny story? I was in the gym in jiu-jitsu and I met this Australian guy, Australian rugby player, cool as hell, awesome accent. We had a roll. He asked me what I used to do if I was a wrestler. I said, football. We got into the whole football conversation and he was like asking why I didn't play in the NFL. And I was like, well, you know, maybe I wasn't good enough, but I did get hurt and never really got the opportunity. Then he really wanted to know about the injury. I told him about what happened. He was like, bloody hell, mate. He's like, that happened to you. He said, that happened. You swear to God, in front of all of them, that happened. Bloody hell, mate. I feel so bad.
You were talking to Harry Potter, bro.
Dude, the guy was absolutely gutted. And I was like, hey, man, listen, the wounds have long since healed, but I do appreciate your empathy.
Man, that's funny. They're passionate people. It's a good little segue into our punter from down under, dude. And Kevin can tell you this. Casey Kreider was there with his family yesterday. I didn't see him because he left. He said the kids got a little they had enough before I got a chance to go over and talk to him, but he was texting me while Tori was punting. Bro's just different, man. Hey.
Dude.
Just different.
He's Phil Mickelson from 50 out, just putting it near the pin.
His placement is so elite. It's something that I never dealt with. And not that I And this is no disrespect to the punters that I played with. They weren't on an elite level, and neither was I. Neither was I. We were running a
We were running a
chop shop
ragtag operation.
Ragtag operation back then, right?
And hey, it showed through a couple of times. Like, we got the job done most of the time,
right?
You know. But we were kind of like the Corona vaccine, to be honest. It gets the job done most of the time.
It's but
every once in a while, you're potentially going to have a stroke and die.
Yeah, you are. we literally were a chop shop special teams organization for a while there. It's like when me and Dylan Kidd rolled out there, or me and Cornbrath, it was like, hey, they got it done, right? But like, there might be, they might have stole your carbonator or whatever. You might not have a rim anymore, right? The rims
carbonator.
Are gone.
Bro, they stole your carbonator.
What's it called?
Stupid bastard.
Carburetor. What's it? I don't even know. I don't know about
that. Yeah, cars. It's a carburetor.
Like you rolled the Iowa special teams was you rolled your car into the shop and it came out and what you wanted fixed was fixed, but you lost your rims. Like your rims were gone. And the air conditioning didn't work anymore. But hey, like, so Torrey Taylor, he's different, right? And I mean, me and Kevin sat there and watched him. He's an absolute surgeon with his foot and a leather ball. Now, I will say this. This is a knock on him. And he came out last week. He was in the media. And it's fun. It's very nitpicky, and it's hard to find a knock on this kid. But the one thing that he is working on right now, and I talked to Woods after the game, after the day, after me and Kevin, I walked away from you, Woods eventually came up and I talked to him. And he said the big thing that Torrey Taylor is working on right now is the traditional United States spiral punt, right? Most of his balls, all but one kick last year for Torrey was a what we call a pooch or an end over end or an Aussie style, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he hits it like a nuclear bomb.
Like a bomb, right? But there are some situations where the spiral punt would be beneficial, and that's what he's working on now. Keith, who we also sat with, Keith Duncan, said – he said a lot yesterday. It was actually funny to sit down and talk with him.
I'm jealous you got a couple hours with old Keith Daddy.
He was funny, and he told us a bunch of stuff about some of the – I mean, obviously, he just graduated, right? So he's talking about the guys and a lot of the guys that we don't know, giving us insight on them. He said that Torrey's basically at the point where he knows how to punt a ball. He's now just trying to come up with every little trick in the bag to fuck with returners, like just mess with whoever's trying to catch the thing.
I want to see him hit a banana ball that hooks like a damn Bubba Watson driver on a dog leg left.
Yeah, yeah. He's I think he's got that down, and I think you'll see a few more of those this year. The problem with him trying to learn and like critique now, or not critique, but kind of hone in on some specialty stuff, is that his op time is getting a little bit slower, a little bit too slow. And something that we saw yesterday in practice multiple times, not just with him, but with the other punters as well, is right now in, you know, 3 weeks into spring ball, 9 practices in, the op time looks slow and the defense is kind of getting there. And
they ain't blocking it up good enough is what you're saying.
They're blocking it, but it's a little dicey.
Are you saying the Seth's operation ain't working right now?
I'm just saying they need to speed it up a little bit. And they don't have, and I understand that they don't have.
Hey, does it have anything to do with the fact that they're all thinking about the 27 words that he just said before the word go?
And they were, dude, they're still happening, bro. Left, reg, sword, shield, super max, shift, pause on 3. Dude, it's still happening. What's sad, you know what's most sad, and me and Kevin talked about it yesterday too, was back when we would, even the last year, like it was Wallace's baby for a long time. So it was his voice ringing out, you know, in the walls of Kinnick. Now it's Coach Woods, which is, there's just a little bit of a different flavor to that.
Wait, Coach Wallace isn't the punt coach anymore?
No, I mean, because Coach
– our senior year. Woods ran it all our senior year.
Wallace helped out.
No. Wallace was always the punt guy.
He was part of it. Like, he helped coach it, but it was Woods' thing.
Woods took over, technically. And then once we're gone, now Woods has really taken over.
Really? But,
yeah, so I'm Shudak. Shudak.
He was the goddamn special teams coach.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that he was the overall special teams coach. Like, I understood that. But back in the day, Chris White was the overall special teams coach as well. And Wallace was the punt guy. And Wallace was always the punt guy. Like, once we went to his punt operation, I just knew him as the punt guy.
Yeah. There was a fair amount of punts. There was some kicks too. Freshman walk-on Aaron Blom has a little bit of a leg in him. And is a nice little backup option to Shudak. Shudak is as big as your average fourth grader, but he can absolutely boot a football.
Dude, and how about my guy Shudak running the whole race?
The race.
Nobody has ran a more thorough race. Like, I mean, I understand he's a kicker and not every day has been the worst, but for that guy, there's been some tough freaking days.
I can tell some stories too that I can't tell on the podcast. Kevin heard one yesterday. that make it an absolute miracle that this kid is still on the team.
In year six, baby.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Cheers to the 27-year-old Caleb Shudak.
Right, yep.
Kicking and kinnick this year.
But what this means is we have a freaking – I mean, we
– General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Have Grandpa Kicker, Grandpa Punter. They're both elite. They both have great leg strength. And the snapping situation is good. Spiewak is got 8 games under his belt. He's a 6-year as well. I mean, the amount of time in college and years of life that we have at our 3 starting specialist positions, there's no way that anyone has it matched.
Nobody can touch it, right? It's 5th year and 2 6th years.
Well, Torrey is a 2nd year, but I mean, I think he's like 23 or something like that. So
yeah,
their combined age is like 75. And they're 3 college kids. It's insane. So special teams is going to be good. I tweeted yesterday that if we got some dudes, you know, if Coach Wallace can find some of those fucking dudes. Okay. And we saw Coach Wallace. First thing he said was like, "Wow, you guys should be on the fucking field. All right. Why don't you guys come down on the field?" And I was like, "Can we do that?" And Miles had just walked by, Miles Taylor. And he goes, "He's like,
Miles Taylor. He just walked right in the facility like he still played here."
Just walks right in. I mean, I was like, okay, yeah, next time we'll be on.
Never in my life would I feel that comfortable.
Ever.
Ever.
Dude, even me.
Dude, I would go in there with a Corona mask on and knock and like start asking around. I'd start with the lowest level of people and be like, "Hey, what do you think? How much do they hate me around here?"
Like, the girl at the front desk who's like a semester student worker. She's just there for 3 months, like checking people in. You'd be like, "Hey, my name's Drake. Is there a list of like people who aren't allowed in here? Or am I on that?"
Because
list?
If there is, I need to see that list.
Yeah,
I'm potentially on it.
Get through the first level, and then you see like the secretaries. Hey, just sit there for a second, see if anyone.
Oh, speaking of secretaries, I ran into Rita last week.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I saw her at the View.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she really liked our episode with Coach Polisek. She wanted to say that.
Everybody did, man. Everybody loved the episode with Coach Polisek. So
I wonder if KF listened to the Coach Polisek episode.
So here's the deal. KF has listened to the podcast. And
we established that.
And I don't know what episodes he's listened to or how much, but I feel like our work is done. Except for that we have to get him on the podcast. I mean, that's the ultimate. Once we get him on the podcast, the podcast life, him coming on the podcast.
I feel like our podcast would no longer be disrespecting KF. You know, like at first it was so garbage. It was so disrespectful.
Dude, it was so bad.
But at this point, like it was
trash, dude.
We've tried to establish the fact that we can do some like actual real media work, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
And we're like not as trash as we used to be.
Yeah, we're in the door. We're just somehow we made it to the party, but we're dressed in like flip flops and cargo shorts and a bro tank. That's what we are.
Everyone else is in a black tie.
Right. Yeah. It's a black tie affair.
But they can't hate from outside the club.
Right. We're still in.
We still got in.
We're still in. And speaking of that, I made my way into the freaking coach's press Zoom meeting last week, which I said that I would potentially do. So I got to ask Coach Woods a question. I think everybody in there was shitting their pants because all of a sudden Tyler Kluver popped up on the Zoom call. Nobody that's supposed to gave me the password into that Zoom.
which makes it even better, dude, which means that we weasel our way, right, little grimy way in the back door.
Yeah, I can just imagine Steve Rowe like on the back end of that call just being like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Which one of you fuckers did it?
Yeah. And I asked Coach a pretty funny question. I interacted with him, and I then asked him yesterday, I was like, how'd you like seeing me in that Zoom call? And he was like, I thought I saw your name in there as I was like opening up with the statement. But I was like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, so back to some other stuff that happened yesterday. Obviously everybody wants to know what the quarterbacks look like, who wasn't there. What's Petras looking like? How do the backups look? Is Deuce the guy yet? I mean, there's this weird fetish that Hawkeye fans have over Deuce Hogan. And I think Kevin,
it's because he was
very active on Twitter. I feel.
And he was the young kid and they're the old people, you know, right. Because when he was interacting with all his kids getting recruited, everybody was sucking his ass. KF loves that phrase, dude. Oh, yeah. Sucking his ass.
Suck his ass.
And then he was just like their lovable little 16-year-old quarterback. Mm-hmm. And still in everybody's mind, like they have an infatuation with him. Don't know anything about the kid. I'm not shitting on him. I have no idea if he can play quarterback or not. I've never seen him.
Well, and it's kind of like the way it works nowadays is, I think it's always worked that way with recruiting, right? Like we get the big recruit, and up until that point, they're just the high school kid who is dominating, has never played in the black and gold, which means he's never made a mistake. People don't want to connect the dots there where he's never made a good play either, but he's never made a mistake. He's fucking gathering guys on Twitter. The reports and the stories that are being done on him say he's a confident kid. He wants to come in and grind. He's ready to just go balls to the wall. And then we get to spring practice yesterday. It's our first look at Deuce Hogan, and he's clearly the number three quarterback. I mean, it's not even like a little bit close. He's like clearly the number three. I think he's actually, I would even say, and I don't think that this other walk-on quarterback has any kind of chance, but he's been in the program a couple years. I think Connor Kapasak, who's, you know, the walk-on four string, no scholarship. I think him and the other kid, I mean, those two, they're kind of like.
So you're saying he's a little bit Tate Martell-ish is what you're telling me.
I think he's a young kid still. He's a young kid. And Kevin saw him. He has an awesome frame. He's got a big frame.
He doesn't have Petras's arm.
He doesn't have Petras's arm. He doesn't have Petras or Padilla's experience.
Is that just number two? Is Padilla?
He is number two.
Is he a little guy? Is he as little as he is?
He's short. He's a little shorter, but
he's shorter, six one.
Scoot around a little bit though.
He can move. And here's what I'll say: what was the number one knock on Petras last year, other than accuracy? Like when you get 90, we got nitty gritty, right? It was his pocket presence, right? He
got a little flustered.
His feet were a little bit choppy. He got a little, you could tell he was a little jittery sometimes. And I'll say this, it's a spring practice. We're going against the twos, right? But Padilla seems to have just a slightly more calm demeanor in the pocket, maybe. Even yesterday, you start to see it a little bit with Petras again. And Petras got banged up. He actually came off the field and Padilla took some reps with the ones. Padilla definitely had the best practice yesterday of all of them. He threw a couple touchdowns to Tyrone Tracy. Tracy balled out yesterday. Probably he was one of the stars of the show. I think Tracy steps in as Amir's replacement, and we have just as much talent as we did with Amir Smith-Marset. I don't know if you agree with that, Kevin. Potential.
How are we doing with the Bracey? Is there one or two Braceys on the team?
There's a Bracey. He's at safety.
I thought there was an offensive Bracey brother that was supposed to come to the Hawks.
I think it's just Reggie Bracey, who's he's a safety. He's like second string safety or third string safety. He's still young. Here's what I said.
We have slot guys. We have Organey. We have Tracy. It's just a matter of who's going to take over that role that Brandon Smith had on the outside, just going up and mossing dudes.
Yep. And here's my thoughts on that. First of all, 81, you pointed him out yesterday, Kevin. Desmond Hudson, big kid. Kid has an absolute frame on him. He looks like Brandon Smith, right? He's that prototype. Can we trust him like we trusted Brandon Smith in the red zone or, you know, going up top? Well, yet to be seen. But the one thing that's kind of been the buzzword on the wide receiver front is Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce, the two freshmen. And I don't think they disappointed. They both were getting reps at Gunner. They both were taking some, you know, pre-practice kick return, punt return kind of reps. They both were impressive in the way they moved. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people listening, but after being in the program for so long, there's a way that a position moves, right? That a safety should take his steps, that the way his hips and his shoulders come downhill, like you guys know what I'm talking about.
Receiver should come out of his breaks on his routes.
How a fullback comes out of his stance and kind of attacks who he's blocking, right? There's a way that it should look. And those two kids at a young age already kind of look that way. And I think they're going to be really fucking good. I think they're a feature, not this year, but next year. And I think this year they get a lot of meaningful reps. I think they both play right away.
What's important is, do we have more than one really good tight end? Because Laporta is going to be elite. But
I'll say this about Laporta is that he was dominating dudes in blocks.
Throwing them.
He was putting guys 10 yards downfield. And,
Jesus. He's eating them like George?
Eating. Laporta's a feature. He is an absolute feature. I think you're looking at T. Good as a feature running back. I think you're looking at Laporta as a feature tight end. And I think you've got Tyrone Tracy as a feature wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, Laporta's not coming off the field, I don't think.
No. Now, Keith.
When the offense is on the field, he's on the field.
I'm going to pull
conditioning up.
I'm going to pull up the depth chart here that they busted out.
Dude, it's so crazy that Laporta was – he was so good as a freshman. It was just like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
He was unreal. How does he – how is he that good, dude?
Well, the size helps, right? And so your question is, do we have more than one? I think the answer is yes. When you have a guy – like Keith Duncan, who just came off that team, right? When he mentions a name and he says he's going to be good, teammates know if their teammates are going to be something because they've gotten to see so many different scenarios play out, so many different guys run through that position at the same school. And he mentioned Luke Lachey. I think that's how you say his last name. Luke Lachey, 6'6", 240, redshirt freshman, going into his second year.
And he's not on American Idol?
No, it's not Nick Lachey.
It's
Luke Lachey.
Okay.
And he's got a body on him, 6'6", 240. He's out of Ohio. And Keith said that he's going to be good. So there you go. That's our second tight end. 6'6 is some size now. I don't know if we've had a 6'6 tight end since we've had, Fedorowicz?
Yeah.
He was
six tall.
Who?
Ray might have been 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he wasn't 6'6".
Yeah, but they were around the same time, right? That was 2014. I mean, it's been almost 10 years since we've had – I mean, George is 6'4"?
4'3". Really?
Yeah. I mean,
that's
he plays like he's 6'9", but speaking of George, we need to get him on the podcast. So he's got so many toys in that fucking gym of his. He's got a Vasper machine, which is like – I mean, can't wait to have him on.
All I know is that he better have bought that Clash of Clans package that he was talking about.
Yeah. So tight ends look good. Wide receivers, we're not going to have Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset, that kind of established presence. But I think we have Tyrone Tracy, who maybe becomes, you know, he could break out and be a guy in the Big Ten this year. And then I think at the next level, we're talking like Reganey. I think Max Cooper, 5-6 years into the program, he's going to, you know, he's solid. He can run routes. We've got
a reliable guy's going to catch the ball.
Reliable guy.
Your guy Coop's going to get some catches this
year. He'll get some catches. We got Charlie Jones, who has been great at punt return, and I think he'll be good at receiver. Another reliable guy. Then you have this Hudson kid who's got a body. And then you have the two freshmen. I think we have like one great receiver and then maybe six on that next level down that provides a lot of depth.
You think that Tyrone Tracy can be great?
I think he has the potential to be great. Yeah.
Well, then we have all we need in our offense. If we have three players that can be great, that's all you need.
Well,
the other guys are window dressing.
Quarterback's got to get it to them consistently.
Right. But you can only spread the ball around so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you got three guys that you need to get that many touches to.
Goodson looked good. He, you know, he's Tyler Goodson. So he scored a touchdown late in the practice.
It's hard to evaluate running backs in spring ball.
Yeah, it is.
Especially like when you're not doing live sessions.
Yeah.
Like, was that a tackle? Was that not? I don't know.
Our issue with running back right now is we have four on scholarship and Ivory Kelly Martin's hurt, right? So there's not, we have less depth than we normally do, but T Good is good. And I think I honestly think, in my personal opinion, it's more probably just because I'm more aware of him. The kid out of Dowling, which he's really out of Southeast Polk. Dowling just did their, you know, they pulled their recruiting shit. Don't come after me if you're from West Des Moines. Gavin Williams, number 25, young kid. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good once he just gets a little bit more reps. And yeah, so then that kind of leaves the offensive line, and you're just looking at a bunch of dudes who they're good, right? But are they Big Ten good? Are they Iowa linemen good? And it was really hard to get a feel for that when you're going up against a D line that's already kind of pieced together right now. I think on the D line, Van Valkenburg is going to be great. He had good experience last year and got better every single game and made some plays. I think that Wagner is another solid on the other end. And then I think Joe Evans, I mean, the freaking quarterback from Ames, who is playing D end at 248. It says
he's probably beefy by this point.
He's beefier and he's athletic. He's a mean son of a bitch. KB called him Smoking Joe Evans. So, you know, if you got a nickname like that from KB, I think you're probably moving, doing some shit in practice. He's going to be the gas guy. He's going to be the guy that comes in and provides
the motor.
The motor.
He needs to grow a mullet.
Speaking of mullet, there's a kid named Mike Tim, who's a walk-on from Wisconsin, who just played. He's like Savage back kind of spot. He's thick as hell. He's got a blonde mullet.
He's going to be a four phase guy for like his entire career.
Yeah. Is he gonna be a fullback?
He's a linebacker.
He's a linebacker, but he probably
is he gonna be a fullback?
Well, we got two fullbacks.
We don't need a fullback. We got a dude at fullback.
Yeah. Potabomb is a dude. He's so much better than you, Drake.
Yeah, bro. I'm aware. We already went through this progression and like how each era is supposed to be better than the next.
You're right.
I'm way outdated in terms of Apple, and we're all getting programmed with this damn.
You're the iPhone 3.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
And he's the iPhone 12.
They upgraded his software, pal.
Yeah,
he's on 5G. You're on that 3G network.
Yeah, and let me tell you, dude, he's Keith. I mean, again, not that Keith
he's
is
a
like
physical dude, man.
He's physical. He freaking runs well. He has awesome balance in space and out in the flat. And if he can, I don't know what else the NFL would expect or want out of a tight end, H-back, fullback. You know, that position that Daphne plays, basically. I don't know what more they would want out of a guy than what Monty Potabomb has to offer. I really don't. I mean, he's good. And he's coming to town ready to fuck you up. And
let's go, baby. I mean, that's all you need. More eye black come to town ready to fuck you up.
Yeah. Now, on the
defensive, I showed up with the right mindset. I just, you know, didn't always pack my ass with me.
Right, right. You just had a few tools missing in the box. Most of them were there. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, to finish this thing up, again, we talked about the D-line kind of being pieced together. The back seven, I mean, Kevin, how fast does our back seven close on people? Holy shit.
We got some dudes that can break on the ball. Like
Belton.
Belton's like when just like get it and go speed is like bam. Like he puts his foot in the ground and he's hawking
dude. His 10 has to be so fast.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
Yeah. I thought our middle two linebackers in Benson and what's his name?
Campbell.
Campbell. Big physical dudes. I like what we have there. You know, Belton out playing the cash, just it's a very natural position for him. I think he's just a lock there. It'd be interesting to see what they do when they go to the traditional 4-3 with, you know, take the cash out, put a Leo in. One, who they're going to put that Leo spot, and two, where they put Belton. Do they move Belton back to strong then?
I don't know.
They had Kayvon taking some reps at strong while they had what's his name? Number 30 was taking the free safety.
Quinn Schulte. Dude, Drake, we've got this kid. So I don't know if you remember Bryce Schulte. He was there our senior year. He's like a tight end that hasn't really seen the field. Just, you know, walk on guy doing his thing. His brother, Quinn Schulte, number 30. He's a little fucking Gervais prototype. And they said he works his ass off. He put a stick on Goodson on one of the plays on the sideline. And like, he's a walk-on going into his third year. So he's like a Jack Kerner, Gervais, Kevin Ward. Kevin was a little bigger than him, but
the whole lineage, dude. It's
Loudermilk, Tanner Miller. They were probably.
You forgot Snides in there.
Who?
Snides.
Oh, Snides. Probably going all the way back to like
Greenwood,
Pagel. Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, I think especially at safety, I don't think we've ever had this kind of depth.
And then at corner, we've got Moss and Hankins. I mean, once Hankins is healthy, those two have so much experience. And then you're looking at guys like Terry Roberts, who has shown up all over the field on special teams, and Jermari Harris, who is a guy. We were talking about him, Kev. He got a few reps in there as well. So the deepest position on the field, Parker's just sitting in his office every night thinking, we might as well just go to fucking 7 DBs. Take the linebackers out of there.
You know he's saying it too. Yeah. You know he's walking around the building with a 12-inch swinger just talking about, well, we're about to go to 7 DBs. We got all these goddamn good DBs in the room and no other room to keep up.
We'll go.
Hey. Know what he's doing? Know what he's doing? Because the DB room is right next to the LB room. He's just going to be pounding on the wall there. He's like, hey, Seth, get your Leos out of there. We're not playing them anymore.
We got two positions at linebacker. Hey,
tell them to transfer.
Yeah. Dude, what's crazy about Jack Campbell, and I know that staying light will keep him. I mean, he's 245 is plenty to play in the Big Ten. But my guy, Jack Campbell, he could put on 10 pounds and still be fine. He still looks a little lean, you know?
He's got just an unfair frame.
Unfair, dude. Unbelievable. If he's if he's in the low mid 240s at what he looked like yesterday, he could legitimately be 255 and still be fast enough.
There's no reason to be. There's no reason for him to be.
Till he goes to the fucking Ravens and becomes Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to say, until he's a guy like Dante Hightower, a guy like Reuben Foster.
But he doesn't need that yet. He's him and then.
No, but I mean, like the NFL, they want him. They're downsizing the linebackers.
You're right. You're right.
With all these guys running around. So.
Him and
I know,
Seth.
My guy Josie and my guy Ben are about to get second contracts.
Yeah, seriously. Him and Seth Benson could not be any different on body-wise. Seth is a little bowling ball. I think he's 6'1". Let me see. Not even. He's 6 foot, 231. But he's physical. He'll come up and meet you in the hole and do all the things a linebacker needs to do. So defense is going to be great as long as KB and the boys figure out four guys to consistently put in there who can just do enough. Right?
They'll get it done.
You need at least six. You need
six guys. Again, I think that group almost mimics the receivers where we're going to have like one good D lineman. And then you have a bunch of guys who just need to get there and do their thing and just get it done.
I want you to just put yourself in the mind frame of being a defensive line at Iowa that doesn't get the job done and think about what it feels like. They can't live with that. They're going to get the job done, dude.
Under the defensive line has been the strongest part of our defense since I got there.
Right? That's my point.
I mean, imagine going all the way.
Imagine those guys flopping. They just simply don't. Like, they're going to get it done.
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. So the defense is going to be solid. The question, similar to last year, is can the offense put it together and find a way to score points? And then we have a chance in every single game. Like, it just is what it is, right? To leave your fans off yesterday, if you were some of them who, like, every time Deuce got the ball in his hands, you were like, you could, like, hear the stadium start to, like, the noise crowd. Every time he threw a pass, he overthrew, like, a wide open receiver for a touchdown, and like everybody was like, oh, you could just hear
they wanted it so bad.
So bad. Deuce isn't probably going to be your quarterback this year. And I think that's okay. I think I tweeted it yesterday. I think that
here we go. On the Wash Up Walk-Ons, me being Vegas, where do we set the line at?
For what?
Deuce starting?
For Deuce to hit the transfer portal.
I would love to see him stay. He could start for 3 years after Petras is gone, or I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Miller and Morehouse talked about this on their podcast too. Is like, do we have all three guys in spring ball next year, a year from now? The way that this transfer
portal, hey, I'm not even on Twitter. I'm just asking questions.
It's tough.
What are the odds?
It depends on if
Deuce. Depends on what type of kid he is. If he wants to stick it out and grind it out, then there's no chance. You know, but I don't know.
He has the potential to start for Iowa. But the question is does he get antsy, and is 2 years, 3 years too long for him to just ride the bench and then finally get his shot? That's honestly, I think he would be great if he could wait it out. Otherwise, it's on him, right? He's got to pick up that playbook and just figure it out if he wants to play, because right now the other two are clearly ahead of being more comfortable running the offense. It's just the way it is. That's it. We're going to have an episode later this week that Drake's super excited for.
That's all we got, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we went for 40, 50 minutes.
Yeah, man. I'm just bored.
I know. Go roll with some black belt or something.
I got to wait a couple hours.
All right, cool. Everybody have a fantastic Sunday. There'll be another open practice. I'm not sure if I'll be there. I don't think Kevin's going to be there. So we'll talk about that when it gets there, but, happy fucking week. Have a great week. The Washed Up Walk-Ons are just happy to be back in Kinnick Stadium. We love Iowa football. That's it. Attack this week like Monty Potabomb would attack a fucking linebacker. That's all I have to say.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.